This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with two birds on a bat with Jim, Steve, and Fish.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Andrew Lawrence! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Cardinals are! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fans podcast. I'm happy to be here this week. I want to welcome in our esteemed crew. Steve-O, what's happening?
It's a great day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful
day.
Let's
play two out there.
Yeah, it's nice. It's November. We got nice weather. Fish, what's happening?
I don't know, but he ain't Ernie Banks.
No?
But I will say this. I'm excited about our guest.
Yeah, well, I am too. We have our fan of the week in studio. Again, a gentleman that was able to actually join us in studio. So he'll sit in for the whole hour. We'll kind of get to him after we go to the M4 by Yachty hotline. But one of our new sponsors, Supreme Lending, happily each and every week, if you need some mortgage needs, give Steve-O a call, 618-655-0483. Brings you the fan of the week each week. I want to welcome in the Edwardsville High School baseball coach, who also is a proud Cardinal fan and has been his whole life. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim, and go Cardinals.
Yeah, go Cardinals. I saw you goose bumping up a little bit during the intros. That bring back some memories?
Yeah, I think Steve's got the Ozzy jersey, and I was able to see Ozzy's home run in dead center field with my dad growing up. So I got a lot of great postseason memories and regular season memories, so it's fun to talk Cardinal baseball.
Well, that's awesome. So a guy that's got some fantastic memories as he's played the game at the highest level. His love for Cardinal Nation grows each and every day. He's a great guy, a great resource for us to have on the show, and thanks to his brother's apparel company that does so much for charities and kids out there. M4 by Yachty. Make sure you guys check it out. Welcoming in on the M4 hotline, let's bring in our man, Benji Molina. What's going on, Benji?
Hey, thank you for having me again on the show. I know it's a pressure. Somebody's telling you to have me on the show, but hey, it's okay, man. I'm happy to be here.
No. You're in. You're, like I said, you're a full-time member. We got to get that intro done. Brian, put that on the list to do. Special guest star each week, Benji Molina. We got to get that on. Now, you make the show, pal. Let me tell you, we had our best week ever last week, so thank you. I want to send a shout-out to a couple of guys that are really helping us grow the show out there in Cardinal Nation. Two great guys, Chris Lawless, who runs Cardinal Nation, which is a closed group on Facebook. They've got 8,000 members, and they'd like to get to 100,000. So make sure you go on Facebook and check out Cardinals Nation. All you got to do is just request to be added to the group. They promote our stuff each and every week. He is a passionate Cardinal fan. They have great stuff on there. All they want is for people to get on there and talk Cardinal baseball, not scream and holler, but it's okay to disagree. They did a great job. And I haven't met the gentleman yet, but the people at rallysquirrel.com, it's a page on Facebook. That is a huge group, 100,000 people that love to talk about Cardinal baseball. They picked up our show last week when we talked a little bit about the Cubs and how agonizing that was for us. It was our best week ever, and it was thanks in large part to all the listeners, but those two pages on Facebook had a lot to do with it. So thank you, guys. We wanted to throw you a shout. And Benji, I got to be honest, I think we do a good job, but the people love you, no doubt about it.
Hey, man, having Fish and Steve-O every week, man, that helps too. I mean, those guys are legit, man.
Oh, boy, look at them up here peacocking up in here.
Oh, boy.
Benji, let me tell you, they are peacocking up.
You're not driving a vehicle right now, are you?
You guys know it, man. You guys know what you're saying, man. You guys know what you're talking about. It's not about bull crapping out there, people. You know, we're talking the real deal.
Well, we do appreciate, don't forget, M4 by Yachty each week. The M4 Hotline brings you Benji Molina. Benji, it's the off season now, okay? We've had the time to let the Cubs World Series victory sink in. They're not going anywhere. I like Mo saying, well, we're not going to go anywhere either. It looks like we're going to make some changes. As a baseball fan, I see a few of the things that he's done, and it makes me think he is going to prepare this roster a little bit differently. In your circle, which I don't know how big your circle is right now, but are you hearing anything, or is there anything you're seeing that you're like, that's what I would do?
There's a few things that came up to my mind, and also I'm in contact with some people from the MLB network, and they're good friends of mine, and they always keep me in the loop of things regarding the Angels, the Cardinals, Texas. You know, I got good friends there. So, but the Cardinals, what they're saying is they have two really bright young pitchers. Are they going to go with them? Are they going to give them the shot? You know, Alex Reyes and Luke Weaver, are they willing to give them the shot? Another thing that everybody's looking outside, if you cannot get a Carlos Gonzalez, a Blackmon, or if you cannot get a Cespedes or whoever, you know, the potential big guns, why not give the chance to the young guys then? You know, like Harrison Bader or Bader, I don't know how to say the name, but he's supposed to be one of the good kids out there. You know, why not give them a shot then? But the main one that I wanted to tell you I would go after hard is Ian Desmond. And I will put him in center field, and I'll let him play ball. That's what I would do if I was a Cardinal fans. A Cardinal office. I will go hard for Ian Desmond, and I think the pitching they're pretty much, you know, covered. But the center field, like they always say, oh, we need a center field. Well, I will go after Ian Desmond. That would be my player right there.
You know, if you look at free agency, I think what we've heard from the media and the guys that cover it on a consistent basis, if you want to call them experts, I guess you can call them experts. What we hear continually is that this is not a great free agent class. So I'm of the opinion that let's take what's out there then, right? So maybe we're crying about a center fielder. Maybe we're crying about a defensive this or a defensive that. Well, I tell you what is out there, and there's three really good closers out there. I think you change the makeup of your team, and maybe you can give yourself a better chance to compete if the talent's not there to go get Kenley Jansen. What's wrong with that? Why couldn't we do that and change the look of our bullpen and give ourselves a chance to dominate maybe in that area? And then to your point, and I think a lot of us, why couldn't Bader play here? Aledmys Diaz kind of made his bones in Arizona Fall League last year. It seemed to work out for him after guys didn't think he could play. This Bader kid looks to fill every need we have. Okay, why not go get a Jansen and put him at the back of the bullpen, put O back in that eighth inning. You got a couple of guys that you would think could get you through the seventh. You change the complexion of the game. You got a young guy in Reyes who they don't want to throw 220 innings this year. Why not do that?
I like it. I like that idea. I like a closer like that with that name and with those numbers, man. I love it. I really do. The other kid that could be a good fit there, it would be Mark Melanchthon or something.
Yep.
He used to be with Pirates. That kid has 180 ERA or something for the past 4 years, I hear. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of sick, man. I mean, that's untouchable. Why not adding somebody like that if you don't want to pay the big bucks to Jensen, you know? But Ian Desmond is my biggest concern because – my biggest free agency right now because he plays center and he can move him back to the infield, which they're trying to move Carpenter to first or something like that. And I mean, I don't know, man. I think you leave Carpenter alone, whatever you want to put him, but just leave him alone, let him play, and then bring Ian Desmond even to play short. Ian Desmond is a great shortstop. Move him to second base if you want, you know, things like that. He's open. He plays so many positions. He opens you for many other things.
Hey, Benji, have we given up on all hope on Rosenthal? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, and maybe I'm reaching. Is there an issue here that I don't know about? I mean, why can't he come back and be what he was?
I don't have any concerns about him. I know he's going to pitch. I know he's going to do it well. I love Rossi, man. I think he's done a great job. I mean, he got into a funk maybe this year. Maybe he couldn't find his groove, or maybe he couldn't spot the ball better. Maybe next year he will. I really, really like him. I wouldn't move him up, but I think he's an eighth-inning guy, you know, and seven- or eighth-inning guy, maybe two-inning guy. I don't think he's a closer just because of what he's shown us. But I like the kid, you know. I don't have any concerns about him.
I agree with you, and one of the things that you know, I've heard lately, and I'm gonna throw you a curveball. It's gonna be a 12-6er, but you know, moving Rosenthal has always wanted to be in that starting position. Maybe giving him a shot this spring to get into that starting rotation. But more importantly, and here's your curveball: what do you guys think about moving Waino back into the reliever role? Take those innings off of him. Okay, he's, you know, get him out of that needing to throw the 200 innings and getting him back into a reliever role. And this is something that I've heard through town over the last week or so, where all of a sudden, you know, he gets out there starting and he's throwing, you know, 91, 92, but in a reliever role, knowing you can go out there and gas it, he can probably get it back up to, you know, 94, 95.
Kind of like Miller did for the Indians?
Yeah.
You're not talking about at the end of the game.
No, I'm not talking in a save situation. Okay. I'm talking in a setup role, whether it's in the seventh or the eighth inning, where you know that he can come in there and he can be a valuable part.
Hey, I want to welcome in our guest here, and I'd like to get his thoughts on what you just said. Because, and Benji, just so you know, our guest this week is Tim Funkhauser here on the Supreme Lending guest line, although he's actually in studio with us this week. Tim, I want to get your point on what they said, because what you also happen to be is a very accomplished baseball coach. As a coach, I mean, would you, like, is it more important to you, or does it, or is it different, same, beginning of the game, end of the game, with a guy like a Waino, or anybody for that matter, Rosie, whoever? Like, what would you do with a guy in that situation?
Well, I coach high school, so this is a little different than the major league level, but I think the major league level is changing, and I think it will continue to meander depending on who they have on their staff. I know I was watching the MLB Network this morning on Hot Stove, and they were talking about possibly using a Rosenthal or somebody else in the capacity that Andrew Miller's been used. I do agree with Benji about how Rosenthal, typical closers, I think, get in that little funk, and then all of a sudden they come back. And last year when he came back after his injury, boy, the last two innings he threw, granted it was two innings, but he looked like he wanted to prove something, and he showed really good stuff. So they talked about it on the network this morning about stretching him out and possibly getting him in that role, and one of the other people talked about him possibly being a starter. And the way that the Cardinals have kind of gone into spring training is having seven guys, maybe eight guys as possible starters, and see how it plays out. But if you – Steve's idea about Wainwright is a possibility. I really like him as a starter, and maybe he turns into a guy that's throwing six innings instead of trying to get into the eighth.
Right.
And then you can have those other guys bridge the gap. So it'll be an interesting dynamic.
Hey, Benji, at the major league level, Tim was just mentioning, they were talking about the Cardinals stretching out Rosenthal. They already have X amount of starters, right? You mentioned the two young guys that should get some consideration. So now you get into a competitive situation. With all your years of playing in the league, I guarantee you, you go to spring training, and here's this young kid standing next to you playing catcher, you know, doing this, doing that. They bring in another guy. They, you know, not to use the word, but, you know, always doubting. So they're bringing guys in, and there's competition. What's that do to a player when they show up at spring training and there's multiple people there, and you know you're all vying for that spot?
You know what? That brings the best out of you. That's the best way to put it. You know, there's some guys that are probably weak, you know, and they don't take the challenge, you know. They're like, get mad and start mouthing, you know, the GM or somebody behind the back, and they don't take the challenge. I think if it was me, I would take that challenge, man. I would say, oh, okay. I saw it through my career. I always played, and I'm going to tell you this, and you guys might not believe me, but up until the day I lost that World Series in 2010, that was my last game. Up until that day when we lost, I felt like somebody was behind me taking my job if I don't do mine. That's how I was. So if you don't feel that inside of you, like you have somebody behind you, you're going to lose because that guy behind you might be better or might be working harder or might be doing things that you're not doing. But some guys out there are weak. They don't like that. They don't like to feel like somebody's behind them. Others, they take it like a challenge and let's go, you know?
Well, I remember when Albert Pujols was here in St. Louis, every spring training, people would get upset with him because, you know, he was basically probably the best hitter on the planet, one of the best players in the game, but yet every spring training they go to him and he'd say, I'm playing for a job. And he approached it that way, and people used to kind of take that, I think, the wrong way, but the reality of it is, if you're that guy, don't you kind of have to look at it that way if you want to play your best?
You have to. You have to. There's, I don't see, if you talk to Barry Bonds, who I thought he was the best, you know, hitter, that, you know, in my era that I seen, because obviously whatever happened with the steroids, it's not on my to say, you know, but he is a good hitter, and he always said it. He said, I always play with pressure because I thought they were going to replace me with somebody else. And this is the best hitter of almost of all time. So, I mean, I think you have to play with that mentality. And if you're weak about it, that other guy is going to go past you in a heartbeat.
No, absolutely. And I think that's a lesson in life, really. Complacency is just a terrible place to be in life, whether it's in a real job like I have or, you know, teaching like Tim does or anything. If you get complacent, you know, there's somebody out there that wants that job. And you got to have that mentality that you're going to go out there and outwork everybody in order to really improve everything around you, whether it's your teammates, your own, you know, statistics, your contract that you want. So, yeah, I mean, but you also, on the adverse side of it, like we've talked about a million times before, a lot of players want to come in and know that, hey, I'm starting shortstop, batting third. You know, and there's that sense of, I won't say it complacency, but knowing your position and your role on a team, and you can thrive there. And when you start talking about, you know, moving guys around like we have in the Cardinal organization this past year, 2 years, having so many guys that can fill different roles, you know, it gets a little confusing. So I'm glad that they're moving like a carpenter over to first and staying that right now. Hey, you're a first baseman, getting Grichuk, getting him committed over to left field, and let's go out and get a Desmond. Let's go out and get a Blackman. Let's get, you know, whoever it might be and fill them in, but then still be able to manage to the, hey, don't be complacent. Let's work because we got a lot of work to do. We got to make up 17 games.
That's exactly right.
Well, we beat this thing with Carpenter leading off to death, but that's tough luck. They need a true – you know what? The difference that this team would look if we had a true leadoff hitter – and I know Carpenter's hit well there. He's a great hitter. But why can't he hit second or third? I mean, that's just the way baseball is. It's about the team.
Yes. And the hardest thing to say is he's been successful there. It's kind of hard to take him out, right? But he doesn't fit the leadoff guy. He doesn't fit what a leadoff guy in every other team, it's what it's about. He doesn't fit it. And even though he's had successful years, and I love Carp, man, he can hit, and he works so hard, but he's not a leadoff guy. Imagine if you can just add up somebody there and then let him hit second, let him hit third. I mean, you don't even – I mean, thinking about the lineup, if you just get a center fielder leadoff guy that's the name, man, that takes a lot of pressure on that kid, man.
Yeah, and on the flip side, if you get a guy that's a true leadoff guy, and we're saying that like quote-unquote here, but – that can run, so when he gets on base, he puts so much more pressure on the defense than Carpenter would, and so many more things can happen, whether you're hitting behind runners, you're bunting guys, so many more things, depending on what where we're at in the game, so many more things can happen. This team would look a lot different with the true leadoff hitter, and yes, Carpenter can hit. Yes, he's got to be a part of this outfit, but maybe that means second or third in the lineup.
Okay, so we got to look at this thing and say, okay, because I agree with Benji. I would not be opposed to Ian Desmond. I think the guy's proven he can flat out hit. He's an unbelievable athlete. You're talking about a guy that played short, played center field. He may not be the greatest defensive player, but boy, he can hit. So the old thing of you can't always get what you want, but if you try, sometimes you just might find it. I'm going to sing the whole Rolling Stones here song, but the truth of the matter is, if we have to go a different route. Okay, and we're all in agreement, I think, that the team would be better served if Carp either batted second or third. Obviously, that's up to the organization and the manager. So then I got to put you guys on the spot, because if we don't go get the leadoff guy, and I think the couple of guys that we've talked about, Maybe they're realistic targets, maybe they're not. So I'm going to start to my left with Tim. Tim, in-house solution for the leadoff hitter. Who would it be in your opinion?
Well, I might be a little different opinion there. I've always kind of struggled with Carpenter being leadoff guy, but if you got a guy that's being successful there, how about getting some guys in the middle of the order that can kind of lengthen the rest of your lineup too? And I think it's hard to go to just totally commit and go out to get that. Oh, everybody wants a fast center fielder that can get on base, create havoc, and hit 300, steal 35 bases, and hit 15, 20 home runs. And I'm not sure if Mike Trout would bat leadoff for us.
Hey, so I don't think the question is, has he been successful? I think we've answered it. We know that he has been successful. I think the question then is, how much more successful or how much more success could he and the team have if we had someone different hitting that spot? Yes, he's been successful. So we're going to say, well, he's successful, leave it alone. Maybe we could be more successful.
Okay, and I agree with that. I think where I'm going with this, though, is I think Tim was kind of going down that road. Well, everybody wants that guy, right? What if we can't get him? So if we can't get him and we got to go a different route, kind of like I said, if the free agents aren't there to improve you here, here, and here, there are free agents available that can greatly improve another aspect of the team. So in this instance, to Benji's point, if you went out and got Desmond, I don't know that Desmond is your prototypical leadoff hitter either. So my point is, who would you lead off? I've always been of the argument, and again, I get it. I know we want a guy that's fast, steals bases. But Carpenter's doubles, the amount of doubles that he hits kind of plays into the whole instantly in scoring position from the leadoff position. I get it, though. He's not stealing any bases. So if you were going to change the lineup up and you had to use a guy from within, I think like what Tim's saying, I don't know that Tim is feeling there's a better in-house candidate.
And it's not worth having that argument because if we don't get somebody outside, Carpenter's going to lead off.
Okay, so that's my point. That's where you're going to go.
So the in-house guy is going to be Carpenter
instead of someone else. Okay, so where I was going with this is you don't want to see a Colton Wong or an Aledmys Diaz lead off.
Not Colton Wong.
No, that would not be good. They're free swingers. There will be many, many games with one pitch, one out. And you don't want that. You don't want that. You want a Carpenter. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I wish Carpenter would steal bases, and then we won't be talking about these. But he's not. And I mean, and like you said, he hit doubles, and he gets on base a lot. You know, he gets a lot of walks, which is fine. But then after that, what do we have? What do we have after that? That's why I like Carpenter like a third batter or a second batter. I think it'd be better, but if we don't get a leadoff guy that we want, I think they need to change their eyes into the bullpen. Even though I like their bullpen, they have not had his struggles a little bit last year, but I love their bullpen, man. Their bullpen is good. They got young guys there throwing, hard, and they're throwing good. They're doing their job. So I don't see just being stuck in just one leadoff guy. No, if you don't get the leadoff guy, hey, go get you a bullpen guy.
To me, the biggest thing is we somehow have to stabilize this defensive effort, because I do think with Lynn coming back and Martinez and Reyes potentially being what we think he can be, you throw in Leak or Wainwright, whoever you want to. I think the starting pitching is what it is. I don't think we can spend a lot of money there. I think the bullpen can be better if old pitches well and Rosenthal comes back and does a little. I just keep going back to this. I think we need a leadoff hitter, man.
Well, you brought up something interesting. You brought up the whole solidifying the defense. And, as limited as research as all of us do on things, I did come across a little bit of good news. I was reading on our young, upcoming 17-year-old Puerto Rican shortstop, Perez, today, and they said he's going to be working with Oquendo. And I know a lot of us have had that question this past year, right? Where is Jose? Where is Jose? And he's down in Florida working with these kids. And I mean, we know from these past, 15 years plus that he's been here on the coaching sidelines, what he means defensively teaching these kids. And I'm happy to report that he is working with them, and hopefully that solves our defensive struggles at least a little bit.
So back to Tim, who is a coach, how important is it and how much better can a kid get, a young kid like we're talking about, Perez or Diaz, with Oquendo working with him?
Well, there's no doubt Oquendo's the best, and if he's not, he's 1-2. But I would take the first for sure, and it's been proven over time with the guys that he's worked with, and – and the amount of success and the amount of respect. And I've heard a lot of different speakers going to clinics, and everybody's raved about him. I've had a chance to be around him some, but whether it's at work in a camp or I went to fantasy camp a few years ago, and he was my skipper. But he has a great influence, and the players rave about him that way. From Steve's standpoint, that player's 17 years old. I doubt he'll be up with the Cardinals next year and being an impact, but it does lay the ground for the future that you have the ability to project a guy maybe in 2 or 3 years with Perez's skills, that he's going to have those that are going to be pretty polished or project to be pretty polished then. But in the short term, they've talked about improving defensively and athleticism, and I think that's the big thing, that athleticism can get away with some things, but athleticism that's also applicable. Colton Wong is super athletic, has a lot of potential, but we've all seen him play for, I believe, 3 years or so, and you see flashes at times, but you don't see enough consistency. So when you stick him at 7-8 in the lineup, you do get a lot of first pitch outs. You get a lot of outs that are not productive outs, and I think those are the things that before, if you looked at him as a possible leadoff guy, it was a minus, and then it set up the rest of the lineup in a poor way, and you don't want that guy batting more times than everybody else on your team. So I think definitely shoring up the defense, getting more athletic, and getting better at bats consistently.
Hey, Benji, I wanted to touch on that before we let you go. We're talking about a guy like Oquendo, obviously, and the impact that he has. It's easy for fans to get on the managers when the guys don't play well defensively. It's like I tell people all the time, what do you want Mike Matheny to do with the infielders? This guy was a catcher. So, obviously, it's incumbent upon each organization to make sure there are guys available, because some of these guys are young, like the guy Steve brought up. You yourself are called upon by the various organizations that you've played for, sometimes that you haven't played for, because of how good you were defensively at catcher. Is that typically what happens, is they reach out to you and say, hey, we got this young guy, he's really struggling, need you to come in and work with him? Is that what goes on behind the scenes that we don't see? The real teachers are teaching these guys?
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of, special assistant, special coaches. Let's say you're having trouble with the center fielder reading a ball or something, that Cardinals will call Willie McGee or I don't know, whoever it is. But I think it's really important to have somebody like that, somebody like Oquendo, who cares about the defenders, who cares about everybody out there, who cares about doing the good, and he cares about the team winning. If you could see Oquendo working with these kids, you'll see why he's one of the best, because he works with them. He actually tells them exactly what to do, and then they go out there and work with them. You know, I think it's really important to people to know those coaches are absolutely more important sometimes than the main coaches that are on top, like the six coaches that they have, because those coaches go one-on-one with these kids. And that's what I think it makes a difference, Oquendo, I don't know where he's going to be. I don't know. I hope he's back with the team, but I don't know where he's going to be. I hope that he bring him back. And that's another point, the defense. How about not only the leadoff guy, not only the bullpen, how about the defense? If you count the defense errors that we lost the games by, we lost probably 10 games by defense only, if not more. And if you take those games and you put them back on the winning column, I mean, we're not that far off the Cubs. So those are other points,
And that's why Kendo's so important, I think, because we're talking about Perez, but more to the point, I feel like, and I've said this, that their shortstop next year is going to be Diaz. And he could certainly, because I think he is an athletic guy who can certainly has room to get better. A guy like Oquendo, it feels like to me, and I'm not around that situation or coach like Tim or youth baseball like you, Jim, but it feels like to me that Diaz could benefit greatly by having Oquendo there to help him.
And that was my point as I was reading about Perez, but we now know that Oquendo is working with our players, whether it's Perez. Most likely Diaz is down there after taking a couple
weeks
off.
He better be.
Right. So that's without getting into knowing whether or not, Diaz is waking up in Jupiter. But at the end of the day, I think that he's probably down there working substantially – with Oquendo.
Hey, Benji, last question before we let you go. I'm assuming, after some of the conversations we have, Yachty's having a normal offseason, but obviously making sure that thumb's healthy and getting it to where he can have a normal season. I know we talked about it on here. People couldn't see behind the scenes how big it was, how hard it was just to catch a ball. Do you see Yachty going into next year completely 100% healthy with that hand?
Oh, man, the way he ended up the year, it was amazing. Just to watch him hit. He told me, he said, "Bimo, I cannot catch the ball. I got to stop it however I can, but I cannot catch it clean without this hand hurting me." And I told him, I said, "Hey, that's what's going to happen the whole year, man. Just try to keep going with it, and then next year when it's the off season, take care of it. You know, put eyes on it. Try to do whatever you can to get it better." But, yeah, you're right. With the off season, I think it's going to be great, man. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to have one of the best years. We watch.
All right, my man. Well, hey, we appreciate you. Make sure you tell Yachty and all the guys over at M4. We appreciate them bringing you each and every week. I want to encourage everybody to make sure they check out M4byYachty.com. I looked up in here because I just wanted to make sure I had it right. But Yachty Molina's Foundation 4 is a nonprofit organization focused on hosting charity events and raising funds to improve the quality of life for children who are sick, disadvantaged, poverty-stricken people, kids that have special needs as well. He's looking to develop more opportunities for underprivileged youth, especially in his home of Puerto Rico. So it's a great thing. Make sure you check out m4byyachty.com. I know everybody loves the apparel. Hey, Benji, we're waiting on our hats and shirts. Where are they? I mean, I need some bright colors, you know?
Hey, I got to get you guys sizes, man. Are you guys mediums?
Mediums?
medium. We love you, Benji. We absolutely love you. Hey, are we medium?
Hey, I showed everybody that picture when you were in town of all of us in the studio, and they all said, "Were you guys doing a show or a pizza eating contest?" So, hey, I think you all know. We're all double X's in here. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Benji, thanks again, man. We appreciate you taking the time each and every week to come on the show. Hope you enjoy your off season, because I'm sure it won't be long. You'll be back at it working with those young catchers.
Well, hopefully I can help out somehow. I have an offer from the MLB Network, maybe go there and do a few shows during the year and things like that. Talk about baseball. That's what I love, man.
Well, don't forget us. Don't forget the little guys here now. When you sign those big contracts with MLB Network, you tell them, "I got to give these guys 30 minutes a week, my boys back in Illinois."
Oh, don't worry. That's going to happen. Don't worry.
All right. That's Benji Molina, brought to you each and every week on the M4 Hotline. That's M4byYachty.com. Make sure you check it out. Again, couldn't be more gracious with his time. Guys, I got to tell you, I think, you know, he's on to something there. No doubt about it. Again, we all want that prototypical leadoff hitter that can help us defensively for sure, but the reality of it is if we just don't get him, which direction do we go? Ian Desmond's an interesting name. What do you think?
22 bombs, 86, 286 average, 80-something RBIs. Yeah, I mean, hey, looks like a duck, walks like a duck. You know, he can fill the role.
What do you think, Fish? Would you like an Ian Desmond?
Oh, yeah, but you know where I stand on this, and, man, yeah. I don't mean to keep beating it, but – I just think they need what I would consider a true leadoff hitter, because I feel like it puts so much pressure on the defense. Once you get that guy that can move, I think it's huge.
Yeah, but does it?
So I'm okay with him.
And coach, and fill in on here. I mean, do you see Matheny doing something that he's not? I'm gonna say not allowing these guys to run, but is he that type of guy that is gonna continue, gonna put the pressure on and, hey, let's run in the right situation, let's hit and run? I just haven't seen that out of his coaching style.
Well, I think La Russa got labeled at different times. He couldn't coach young players. He couldn't do some different things. And then, sure enough, he kind of proved those critics wrong, and a lot of it depended on what he had. So I think if you look at last year's team, even defensively, I think Bill Miller worked with the infielders last year and also coached first base. And he kind of got flashed into that at the beginning of the year, but Bill Miller was in the big leagues for a long time, and we had a chance to play against
one of the best players we ever played against, right?
Had a chance to play against him in high school, and he played with a couple of our buddies in college. And he was always a highlight reel, defense or hitting, and played great defense. So I don't think you can put a lot of responsibility just on him, even as good as Oquendo is. But you had Gurko playing second, short, third, who did, for what he was, I thought he did well. But I went to some games. He's playing shortstop. and we're playing against the Cubs, and they got their shortstops playing second and short, and Baez could possibly be the best defensive player in all of Major League Baseball, and he's playing second base.
Right.
And they're producing. So I think that's something that you have to look at the whole thing. I think that when they get more tools, last year he kind of merged into a team that was hit it out of the park, and he talked about that as the season went on. That's what they were, and they weren't going to go ahead and have Jerko steal a bunch of bases. Or Johnny Peralta is an interesting guy of what are they going to do with Johnny? I would be right in favor if they could put Johnny on somebody, and if they got solidified, say a third baseman, and then they can flash in Jerko at second and third and really get maybe a bat at third. That's a possible option because Johnny's on the way down, but he might be a good veteran on a team that's really close that needs kind of his role.
You know, people wanted him to run more, and you see guys that appear to be fast, like Colton Wong and Randall Grichuk appear to be very fast, and everybody run. But every time I saw him steal, they got thrown out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, first off, with a guy like Wong, you got to get on base before you can run.
Right. And everybody
so
was
gone. So your on-base percentage has to be higher, has to be better.
And I've had to engage in these things, and social media obviously is such a great avenue to basically spout your theories and everything. I think, you know, Colton Wong had like a really nice week in September, if you guys remember that. So everybody was crying that, you know, he should have been doing this all year. You got to remind people, he was the starter the first 3 months of the season. He was awful.
Right.
Okay, he didn't play. I actually think he has potential to be a really good defender, but he didn't play well defensively. He didn't hit. He didn't do one thing well for 3 months, and everybody seems to believe that if – now, this is the easy way to do this, right? Well, if they had played Colton Wong, they'd have won because he naturally would have done better than the guy he put in there. That's unfortunately not reality. So the truth of the matter is let's get to reality, and that reality is this. And, again, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'll start to my right this time with Steve. You got one guy. They're going to, let's face it, the Cardinals are going to go get one guy. Agreed?
Agreed.
It's not their style to go out and get four impact guys. They're probably going to put their eggs in one guy. Who is it for you?
I'm going center fielder.
Okay.
Hopefully he fills that leadoff role.
Make it a realistic target.
Okay. I would take Desmond. I would take Blackman. I would take your boy that you've thrown out there.
Who wouldn't take AJ
Pollock 15 times? You know, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, the bottom line is we haven't signed a free agent of impact for several years now. And you got Baltimore going after Desmond. I have a feeling, being a St. Louis guy, we're going to lose out on these free agents. Okay, I don't see us signing that big impact guy. I see us maybe making a trade and then signing sometime, but I don't see us getting a guy off the free agent market being able to sign him. I don't think that's realistic. So I'd love to have it, but I kind of look at it and say, you might have to roll with what you got right now and continue to develop and look to see if you're in a position to make a move.
Fish?
You know, I don't know. Any of them guys you have mentioned are fine. I don't really have no new guess on this. But I would say in the short time that Steve was talking that I thought about it, that kind of based on what you both said, that I don't know if they got that true leadoff hitter. Maybe I'm changing my mind already, that Matheny would use him that way. Because like you said, Jimmy, they don't really run a lot. And that's more of a mindset. Surely there's guys like Grigic and people in his team that could run. They don't really run a lot. So if they get that guy, is it really going to change a lot anyway? Is he going to run?
What I was saying was that, for instance, if the let's just say hypothetically the in-house solution at leadoff is Colton Wong, although I think Coach eloquently brought up why you wouldn't. Now, the masses don't think that way. They would say, he's small, he's left-handed, he's fast, he's energetic, why not? Okay, but the reality of it is, even if you did lead him off, even if he went out and had a great year and hit 300, I think he's proven us that he's not a very good base stealer. So does it really matter? I think people don't take that into account. Okay, Carl Lewis may not have been a great base stealer. Okay, Vince Coleman, yes, was fast, but he was also a great base stealer. Lou Brock, same way. I guarantee if you line up Grichuk, if you line up Colton Wong, they're fast as the day is long.
Hey,
but they just can't run for
some
reason.
There is an art to this thing because the Indians couldn't even steal on Lester.
Yeah.
So if you can't steal on Lester, you ain't stealing bases. So there's an art to it. You got to get a guy that can run and steal bases.
Timmy, I'd say you might be the smartest baseball coach in the room, no doubt about that. But the reality
I'm
of it
coaching
is,
it. I don't know if I'm the smartest.
Well, you're a fan, but you're a fan. So, and who's your wish list?
Well, I really the wish list for me would be more via the trade. I think last year trying to get a David Price was awesome, and I think they reached out a far way for it. They were really close to getting them. Our team worked out at Vanderbilt last year and heard about a meeting with him and Mozeliak, and they thought it was kind of done, and then he went and played golf. And his agent came off the golf course and said, "You're going to be a Red Sox," when they ponied up for another $20 million. So that we're competing against that as the Cardinals. The Cardinals do have an influx of money, and they have some money to spend, but I have a lot of respect for what Mozeliak and the ownership group do of being able to utilize their resources and not just flush cash and then reload and flush cash. And I think as Cardinal fans, we're getting to that point where we're like, hey, we want to see some of that. I think they could do that via the trade, via teams that want to dump some cash or have some players. Steve mentioned Colorado, like outfield, Blackman. Yeah, he's a great player. Is he going to get to that point with them where they have other assets that they want to go a little cheaper, dump some salary, where we can take on that, improve our athleticism, and a very productive baseball player? So we talk about Colton Wong. Cardinals gave him some money. I was a little surprised by that. And I think they saw flashes that he was starting to put some things together. And if when you hear him talk, he and Matheny talk between the lines, you're hearing he needs to learn how to compete. He needs to learn how to be a big leaguer. Now he's 3 years in. Now's it's kind of the time, and some of the positivity about him, hey, he's going to be our second baseman right now. Maybe some of that is also we believe in him. Hopefully somebody believes him even more that they'll even throw him in on a trade, and we'll get some value back for him. But right now I don't think there's probably a lot of teams that say, man, I wish Colton Wong was our second baseman. But I think via the trade is going to be pick up some – and I don't know if you go after Detroit Tigers that are – 1 or 2 years left in their contract. I don't think we're there right now. But I do like the ability to get a guy that's going to go into free agency, and if you can lock him up for another 3 or 4 years afterwards, I think that'd be your best bet.
And from a fan's perspective, you know, when I look at it, and this is – and we've had discussions about this, Jimmy, off and on air. I've always – and I think I speak probably for the masses. You like your homegrown guys. You liked – those are the guys that you really, like, rally around. And that's why I like the Cubs team. Even though I don't like the Cubs, I liked their team because of how they built it. And that's where you get into – you know, Cardinal fans, I think, are generally like that. They want to see these guys come up through – they want to see the 17-year-old get signed, work his way up through Johnson City, and then all of a sudden, you know, a couple years later, we're talking about, hey, he's coming in, and here he is, he makes an impact. Next thing you know, we got a world championship. We like that. We don't like – even like the 98 Yankees, that, you know, in 96, that was homegrown, a lot of it. And then as they tried to buy those parts, they really struggled from there on out. So – as a fan, I want to see these guys come in. I don't want to sign that big – I mean, as much as I'd love to, I just don't think it's reality for the Cardinals. Maybe go out there and sign that big Hightower, $30, $35 million a year guy and make a big impact.
Hey, is Dexter Fowler a free agent, Jimmy?
Yep.
What's wrong with that one?
He's older. Pretty good. He's older. It's going to cost them a first-round pick, which if they make a trade, they're going to give up picks. I think the issue there is – I think – If he takes a 3-year deal at what he's really worth money wise, I think the Cardinals are all over him. The thing is, the guy's 33, is that right? 34, 35?
I didn't realize he was that old.
He's going to try to capitalize on this, which you would understand, which you should understand. I'm going to say he's at least 33. So
you've been right every time.
He's going to want to capitalize on this thing, so I think we're going to look at that. My guy is Pollock for all the reasons that we've said today. The reality of it is, he, in my opinion, is going to cost you the most from a prospect. Situation. That being said, people want to talk about that. Well, you got to give up. Well, if you sign one of these other guys, you got to give up a first round pick. So you're basically giving up a first round talent prospect anyway, right? So that so that's what you're given, okay?
30, that's a big difference. Hey,
so is he 30? Really?
Fowler's 30. That's a big difference because that ain't an old guy yet. So listen here, Jimmy. I want to know if you're playing favoritism here because you did not take the opportunity to jump all over Tim when he mentioned the fact that the Cardinals did or didn't spend money. Now, had I made that comment, you'd have been all over me saying, oh, the Cardinals got money and you know they got money.
No, no,
they
no,
spend
no.
Money and they
there we go.
Crawfish out of this
no,
one,
no,
buddy.
No, I will. I don't know why you are so okay with what he said, not with what I said. I'm okay. I want them to spend money, but on the right guy. I don't want them to just go give money for no reason. I think they absolutely should have ponied up and gave David Price $20 million last year.
First off, I agree with Tim's theory, and I've always said that I think the Cardinals are running a business with a baseball team, which is true, and I think that they've been not frugal but smart in the way they went about this. I realize they got money in the kitty. I get that, but it's like the whole Pujols thing. Do you bankrupt the team by doing it? They went about it in a different approach, not different than Oakland, not different than some teams, but different than the Red Sox, different than the Angels, different than the Yankees, different than the Cubs. And I'm okay with that. That's why I didn't jump on them. Plus, these are special guests. To get these guys, guys, we can't hit him over the head with the stick when he comes in here.
Hey, well, two things I'm going to tell you. Number one, I'll call it like I see it. I don't care if someday he's going to make out the lineup and I hope my kid's in it or not. It's irrelevant. I've made up the lineup for the last 5 years. His kid's been in it, okay? The truth of the matter
boy.
Is this. The truth of the matter is this. Yes. I wanted him to pay for Pujols because I felt they owed it to us as fans. I felt they owed it to him, and I felt he was worth every dime. I don't care what you say. Number two, do I think they?
No, I agree with that.
Do I think they screwed up when they didn't sign Scherzer? I absolutely think they should have signed Scherzer. He was no different than David Price. He was an absolute difference maker that was worth every dime. David Price was, if he was worth $200 million, I assure you, he was worth $220. That being said. On the other side, okay, I'm not going to go give Dexter Fowler an unlimited check. I'm not going to give.
No, I didn't say that. Now, listen, though, Jimmy, to check that because I think the exact same thing that Tim had said, and we've heard it so many times, I think the Cardinals made a real push, real effort to sign Price. And I don't know how that went down with the golf thing and how that worked out. Did the Cardinals get a chance to rebuttal that? Did the Cardinals say, wait a minute, we'll give you 225 instead of the 220? I don't know. What I do know is they made a legitimate effort to get Price. Mm-hmm. So you can't act like, oh, boom. Well, they did.
Okay, and I'm fine with that. But like what I'm going to give you an example here of what I'm talking about. If Dexter Fowler comes to the Cardinals, because, hey, listen, would I like to have him? Sure. The reality of it is this guy's not a 320 hitter that steals 80 bases and plays great center field.
Who is?
This guy, okay, hang on, follow me. This guy is a good center fielder, not great. He's not a great center fielder. You can look it up. It's very simple. Number two, he's not a 300-plus hitter, okay, and he's got a little bit of power. Does he help us? I think he does. I'm not breaking the bank for Dexter Fowler. So hang on, let me finish.
No one said that, though.
Hang on, follow me. If we lose Dexter Fowler to somebody else because of money, you won't hear me cry like I did about David Price or Pujols or Scherzer. What you will hear me cry about, in my opinion, is if all of a sudden we are in on Kenley Jansen, because I definitely think he's our best option to change the look of this team. I would go get him, okay? If we offer him, I don't know what the going rate for a guy is anymore, 5 years, $50 million for a closer, whatever it is, and I find out, or $75 million, whatever it is, okay, I'm just throwing a number out there. And I find out that we lose Kenley Jansen to the Cubs over $5 million, I'm going to be pissed off because we got $5 million to change the look
first,
of this team.
First thing I want to say is just because you're smarter than me, and you are, doesn't mean you're right.
Oh, I'm right on this one.
Secondly, I will say I never said that we should open up the bank for Fowler. I'm just saying it's an option. We're talking about center fielders. We're talking about a guy that can lead off. Now, if you're going to be unrealistic and say that I want a guy that's hitting 330 leading off, I want a guy that's going to hit 20 home runs, I want a guy that steals 57 bases, that's probably unreal. I didn't say Fowler was all of that.
No,
I say that he would change the complexion of this team.
He would.
I think it would stabilize some things. You could lead him off. You could have some of it fills in itself there.
Where I was going with that was I felt like David Price, Scherzer, these guys were game changers because they pitch so many innings, they have high strikeout rates, they win games. David Price, everybody feels like he was a failure last year in Boston. This guy won 17, 18 games. Yes, his ERA was up, but he pitched the innings he always pitches. He had all the strikeouts that he normally has, and he had his 17.
Well, I don't know who you're talking to because I don't think that he was a failure.
Well, no. I mean,
and I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to think that you'd want Scherzer, Price.
Do you know how many people think that David Price on social media was a failure and it would have been catastrophic if the Cardinals would have signed him? That's where I'm going. But, hey, I'll tell you where else I'm going. Go ahead.
If they would have spent the money for Hayward, everybody would have been going nuts. I think it's
but everybody wanted him.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It doesn't sound fun as a fan, but I have a lot of respect. The Cardinals, the way they're modeled, I think you have to look at every team and how they're modeled. The Cardinals are modeled by getting 3.5 million people in the fans every year. So you have revenue streams. You have revenue streams with your TV, okay? Their philosophy has been, it's been pretty evident, I think, to most people that they're hoping to make the they want to make the playoffs, which they've done a great amount of time. And if you are in the playoffs 10 out of, say, 12 years, I don't know how many years it's been, but say 10 out of 12, 14 years, you're giving yourself a good chance rather than being a team that tries to build up for 3 years and then comes crashing down and then rebuilds, because they're not going to have that revenue flow. And I think that's one thing that you got to take into consideration in the whole thing.
Hey, we're hearing from Tim Funkhauser, who not only is the local baseball coach here, who's had a great run and continuing to do so here in Edwardsville. He's also a big Cardinal fan, and it's a new spot it's not a new spot. We've been doing the Cardinal Fan of the Week, but it's now sponsored each and every week by Supreme Lending, and that guy just happens to be the guy sitting to my right. Steve, tell us a little bit about Supreme Lending.
Supreme Lending, mortgage company. We have a lot of local operations as far as our processors and underwriters here locally. Company's actually based out of home offices in Dallas, Texas. But great company overall, building in the St. Louis market. And they listened to the program, and with me being on it, we wanted to be involved some way, shape, or form. So got involved. Overall, though, with rates being where they're at today, if I could give my little plug, give us if you're looking to purchase.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What do I need you for?
Okay.
Like, as a home. I own a home. I'm not buying a home. What do I need you for?
If you're a current homeowner and you haven't refinanced, give us a buzz. Phone number 618-655-0483. We'll walk you through the process. Find out if it's possible for you to save money every month. Or, more importantly, we're getting into that market where refinances, a lot of people have done it. They're looking at that home purchase, whether they're a first-time home buyer or they're moving up and buying their second or third or even fourth home. We specialize actually in the purchase market, work with a ton of local real estate agents, both in Missouri and in Illinois. Give us a buzz. Give us an opportunity to hold your hand through the process. 618-655-0483 is the best way to catch us right now. So I'd love to have some phone calls from our listeners out there.
Now, I have some equity in my home, but I have a whole bunch of credit card bills. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
For a while there, you heard that was hard to do. Can we do that now?
Yeah, what we're seeing now in the marketplace is some easing of the monetary policies when it comes to lending. So we have some very aggressive programs out there for people like you that might want
to. People like me? Wait a minute.
People like you you just described yourself. You want to go out there and tap into some of that home equity, consolidate some loans, maybe save some monthly payments. So yeah, give us a buzz, 618-655-0483, Supreme Lending. Happy to be a sponsor now.
Hey, that's great. And we appreciate you doing it.
Happy customer. I've both my houses I've purchased have been through Steve, and he's also refinanced at different times.
So you've been a happy customer three times.
Basically. Well, maybe four. I don't know how many times I've refinanced.
Fish, I've financed with him two or three times, and I bought through him. Fish, you may need to jump on this wagon.
I need too bad. I've talked to him actually off the air, and I'm going to talk to him again today. But I'm in the same boat you're in, so he's going to have to do some real magic.
Yeah, I need a little cash. Hey, getting back to the our guest today, you know, it was great having you here because I knew you'd give some insight and bring the people, so to speak, down from the ledge a little bit that want to talk about the baseball side of it and what they see. So we really appreciate doing that. But we want to learn more about you as a Cardinal fan. So you're a little bit younger than Fish and I. You and Steve are the same age. When did you, what's your first memories of being a Cardinal fan?
Well, thanks for having me on the show. But as a Cardinal fan, I mean, I just grew up, my dad taking me. My dad was a coach prior and just always a Cardinal fan and just going to games and seeing Ozzie Smith, Willie McGee, and all those guys growing up playing the game. And for me as a youth kid, it was just fun to emulate those guys and try to be Ozzie Smith and watch Willie McGee play the game and play the game the right way. And I think that was kind of a great asset to have growing up in St. Louis. But seeing the DeWitts take over the Cardinals and what they've done to the whole downtown and also kind of running the club the right way has been fun to watch over the years.
So you're dating yourself a little bit for when you were influenced by the Cardinals. We always ask our guests, what was your favorite team?
Well, I'd say, I mean, you know what? I think I'm getting old enough that I forget what years everything flows together. But, I mean, those 82 through 87, probably 82. I mean, I was 10 years old at the time. But I remember Willie McGee saving a couple home runs and hitting a couple. And Ozzie playing over the years, too. So it's hard to pick out one particular team. But that's kind of the beauty
of the era.
That's kind of the beauty about being a Cardinal fan, that I've had a chance to go to a lot of postseason games, and you start categorizing all of them, and it's hard to rank 1 through 10 what your favorite moments are, alone teams.
Okay, so the three questions we ask everybody that comes on. Number one, your favorite Cardinal team. You've kind of went with that 80s era, which is fine. You can go with an era. Okay, so number two then is, who was your favorite Cardinal player?
Willie McGee was. It was tough with Ozzie Smith because I was an infielder, but Willie McGee, I just – loved how he came up and had a chance to meet him at fantasy camp. And he came up and shook my hand and said, "Hi, I'm Willie McGee," and I almost passed out. So,
hey, as a grown man,
I'm going to throw him under the bus, though. Who was your favorite player, though, growing up?
Oh, overall. Cal Ripken was.
There's nothing wrong with
that. Hey, I got more Ozzie Smith cards off of him for weak Cal Ripken cards. We used to trade a little bit.
And you know what? Being the non-business guy, I wonder what the value of the cards are. I was looking towards the future, and I didn't let my heartstrings pull myself away from being a Cardinal fan. But I would like to look up the value.
They're probably both.
They're both really good.
Yeah.
They're both really good.
And the third question then is where were you during Game 6?
I was in left field bleachers.
Were you really?
And, yeah.
I knew you were there. I forgot. Yeah, I saw
you. I was there with my dad, and we were standing most of the game, and my dad has had hip replacements, knee replacements, shoulder replacements, and he's waving his towel. And what did the game take? 4.5 hours. So
the most unreal thing I've ever seen.
So was that your favorite moment? Because you didn't ask it that way.
Well, I'm gonna let you ask that.
I would say
what I was gonna ask him. What's your favorite Cardinal moment?
Oh yeah, that was my favorite. Just that game. I mean, I was exhausted. I mean, I didn't play. I was exhausted the next day, and unfortunately, was able to go to Game 7, get the whole family, and kind of experience that too. But seeing being there with my dad was special, and then just the whole everything, how it transpired. But also being there when the Cardinals came back and against Houston in 06.
That was 04.
That
was
right.
Me and you there.
Yeah, and then in Game 7 too, and watching Edmonds dive in the gap and thinking he had no chance, and him hitting a home run. I think Roland hit a home run too in the Game 7, and those are special moments.
See, that's somehow is why baseball's different than everything else. Nobody says their special moment in football or tennis or anything else was being there with their dad. But every time you approach it, last week's guest, it was a young lady, same way. Everybody talks about my transistor radio that I listened to the games with my dad growing up. This whole dad relationship with son and or daughter in baseball is always different than any other sport, it seems like. Everybody always mentions to get to share that with their father was a big deal. And you don't get that from football players. And I played football. You don't get that from football players or tennis.
Not in this town. You don't.
I don't think you do anywhere. That's the special moment is being with my dad. You get that constantly in baseball.
Now your kids are. Obviously I know them both very well. And this is a dumb question because I know them, but for our listeners, Cardinal fans.
Yeah, obviously. they're Cardinal fans, and when you run into the playoffs, then you try to decide do they need to go to bed or not, because it's 10:30 or whatever and the game's still going on. But I kind of alternate taking the boys to games, or sometimes we go as a family, but they definitely enjoy watching the Cardinals play. It's fun.
And let them stay up in the playoffs, because here's the real deal: education's overrated. Watching Game 7 of your Cardinals in the playoffs is much more important whether or not you're good at math.
That is education itself.
All right, so how about this one, Timmy? So we got to play down at Busch when we were growing up in high school, right? And old Busch Stadium, and now with the new one, you've been down there for umpteen years coaching your team, and you did the little man ball fantasy camp down there in Jupiter, and you got to play down there on the stadium, Roger Dean. Which is your favorite?
Well, Roger Dean in January, like this third week in January, when it was cold up north, was pretty special. So that was fun just getting out there, and there's so many things that go along with that fantasy camp. So if you ever have an opportunity to do that, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Might be a new sponsor for us.
I would say being a kid playing at Busch Stadium, they had turf. It was the Ozzie era and everything like that. That was a blast. And now as a coach, I get to see everybody else kind of enjoy that. And I still get excited about being on the field. But I don't know if I answer your question, but I guess I'd go Roger Dean personally. And then the old Busch Stadium personally, but the new stadium I think is great, and I see our kids get to play the game, and the game is being broadcast on the big screen. I mean, you can see the signs, so you got to do some things to disrupt that. But the players are in awe of seeing them on that big HD screen, and that's fun to see them experience that.
You know, you bring up the Cardinal camp, but you're the first one to kind of talk about it because you've actually experienced it. It is a neat thing for sure, and you're right. If you given the opportunity, obviously you should do it, and if they want to call us and sponsor a segment, we're happy to do it, so give us a call. But that being said, the experience itself, part of it obviously was being there, part of it was getting to play. You know, your days are behind you, you get to play. But also, I know from seeing pictures and talking to people and knowing people involved in it, you're actually playing with some of the ex-guys. Who were the former players that were down there that you were with? Some of them play, some mm-hmm. of them don't. So if you want to...
No, the thing that stands out the most is that you are part of the team. It is not the big leaguers on one side of the clubhouse, you're on the other. They are reaching out to you and talking about not only baseball but life in general, their experiences playing, but just how's life going? Do you have kids? And unbelievable what a job the Cardinals do in that respect. But I was able to be on a team with Brian Jordan and gosh, I forget his name offhand. The old lefty. He's the player Which development
tutor?
Guy now.
Oh. Flores?
Randy Flores was he played center field for us, a great athlete for a left-handed specialist guy. And then sure enough, he turned around and got the player development gig, but really a smart intellectual guy. And then Oquendo is our manager, and we were talking about Oquendo earlier. Talk about a guy that wants to win. He wanted to win that fantasy game. I'm out there trying to enjoy it. I want to win, but he's positioning me and like giving me different signs, which we didn't really work through what the signs meant, but I had to try to figure those out as we go. But he wanted to win, and it was like, hey, here, and I get to third. And so just an overall great experience. But there's countless guys that were there. Willie McGee, Rick Horton's there. Every year it kind of varies, but they reach out to you. Jason Isringhausen, who lives here in town, and to see his athleticism on a field again. And Steve and I had a chance to play against him in high school, but that guy can do a lot of things. He probably could have made it as a position guy too, been another. Rick Ankiel was there, not a bad guy. He hit a home run, and the way he walked around, it was like, whoa. My first ground ball, I was trying to decide, this might be a little embarrassing for some, but I was trying to decide, man, I don't know, 44-year-old man go up and get it, buy a cup and a jock strap.
So, could have come over and borrowed mine.
Oh, that'd been great.
Well, let's not share jockstrap.
But I decided not to. And I went down and played. And sure enough, the second guy that steps up is Larry Walker. And I'm playing second base. So I start backing up into the outfield, trying the modern thing there with the shift and really to get away from the ball. And then Oquendo calls me in because there's a rule that you got to play four on the infield. And sure enough, the first ball's hit to me, and I've caught it. I threw it over there, but the whole time I was like, "Oh, don't hop up, don't hop up." But
they don't hop on that ground.
No, but seeing those guys and seeing how powerful they are, there's definitely a different level of, and even 20 years removed for some of those guys.
We got to, you know, just a quick little story when we played my man ball. We went on a we do trips. Matter of fact, my team's down in Tampa area right now playing. But I got to play against Bichette. Watching him get thrown out at first base three times on absolute piss rockets to the right fielder. I mean, he could rope, but he couldn't run. And it was funny.
Does
I made fun of him.
Surprise anybody?
No. I had to make fun of him a little bit.
Well, you know what, for our listeners, and I mean this because everybody's a Cardinal fan listening to this show. You're not listening for no reason, and you love it. If you have the opportunity, I would do it because I wish you could see the excitement on Tim's face talking about this. And I get excited listening to him talking about it and seeing how much fun he had. It makes me want to get in shape and do it. So I would suggest you guys do it, and that's a neat thing I knew you'd bring to the show as well. So I want to thank you for being on this week. And
well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, share the show around a little bit to all your Cardinal friends, and special thanks to Steve-O and Supreme Lending for bringing us our fan each and every week.
What's
and again,
that phone number?
It's that phone number, 618-655-0483. Give Steve-O a call. I'm assuming there's no commitment. They can just call you and at least talk to you and gauge where they're at, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Talk through a process and find out what they're looking to do and see if we can help.
And on that note as well, we're always going to have a fan on each and every week. So if you want to be on the show and you feel you have something to say, the only requirement are a couple things. We've said it once or twice. You got to love the Cardinals. You got to hate the Cubs. And you got to come on here and be somewhat respectful. Well, we do want to hear your opinion, but we're not going to come on here and we're not going to MF this and MF that. If you want to come on and have a real conversation about your favorite franchise, about your team, we can disagree. There's nothing wrong with that, but we're not going to come on here and be disrespectful. That doesn't get us anywhere. So if you want to do it, just tweet at us, private message us. Don't forget our Twitter handle, @BirdsOnABatShow. Of course, you guys can check out our website, twobirdsonabat.com. That's where the show is each and every week. Again, I want to throw a special shout out to our friends at rallysquirrel.com. Make sure you go check out that. They're working on the website, so you won't find that. But go to Facebook and type in rallysquirrel.com. It's a great fan page. Be a part of it if you want to be part of Cardinal Nation. My good friend Chris Lawless at Cardinals Nation, another closed group. All you got to do is apply. They'll get you in. It's a great thing. And again, Benji Molina each and every week taking time out of his schedule to come on and give us that insight of the former player. And, of course, his brother and his company, M4 by Yachty, each and every week on the M4 Hotline. Guys, it's the off season really officially. The Cubs thing's kind of wore off now. I'm kind of glad. We had a little thing called the presidential election that kind of got people off the Cubs for a little bit. But it's time to get into the off season. And right now our Cardinals are what, Fish?
Tied for first. Hey, I want to say something real quick, dude.
Go ahead.
I know you're in your role, but I also seen the excitement with Tim talking about that and the passion, and it was good, but it wasn't so good that it made me want to go out and get in shape.
Hey, Fish.
Hey, that's the best thing.
You already lost like 10 or 15
It wasn't
pounds.
That good.
Hey, you've lost 10 or 15
That's
pounds.
The best thing. There's not – even the legends down there aren't in shape like they are.
Hey, Fish. Round is a shape.
That's right. As soon as we're done, I'm gonna go eat 6 hot dogs.
And you can't.
No, you won't.
You can't pull. You can't pull fat. All right. I've never seen somebody pull fat.
I got to tell you, this conversation is went in a bad direction. Let's just end it on this. For Two Birds on a Bat, I'm your host Jim, the Steve-O, Fish, and Tim. Thanks for being with us. For our producer Brian, who put together that unbelievable intro that we get the most comments about from all of you guys. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.